Magic lamp? Wonder what happens when I rub it.
You have awakened me. I shall grant you 3 wishes.
My first wish is for economic development. My second wish is to save hours of travel time. And my third wish is to create safer roads.
You could have just wished for bus rapid transit and gotten all these things with one wish.
Make all your transit wishes come true. Learn more about bus rapid transit at indigo.net/bus-rapid-transit.
Good morning. It is Monday, April 22nd, 6 minutes after 9. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. In case you're wondering, Kevin was the big weekend winner. Happy belated birthday, Kevin.
In fact, they passed a foreign aid package just to prop up Kevin's birthday experience.
I know. Can you imagine?
$90+ billion all going to Kevin's birthday experience.
That's fantastic. I hope it was wonderful because us taxpayers are the one paying for Kevin's foreign aid bill.
Yeah, I'm going to have some fun.
Good for you.
You know, the money would be much better served.
If it went to Kevin?
Because Kevin would get a much better use out of $90+ billion for a foreign aid birthday / traveling fund.
Mm-hmm. At least we could live vicariously through him.
You know, we talked about this a lot, Casey. Of course, for those of you who've been living your life or whatever, the U.S. House of Representatives passing all these foreign aid bills, $60+ billion going to Ukraine, money going to Israel, money going to Taiwan. And obviously, as a result of this, now nothing is going to happen on the border. So you're going to have all of our money going to these foreign governments. And in the case of Ukraine, it's a government that doesn't even like us. The Democrats on the House floor literally waving the Ukrainian flag in support. And, you know, you and I have talked at length about why the apathy of the American public, the exhaustion with politics, the apathy of the American public towards being involved, leaning in, staying involved in their politics and government. This is why. You elect these Republicans. Every time, Casey, we go through this, every single time we go through this, where these Republicans are in the minority parties or they're out of the White House, they run on promising to correct what's going on in the country. The people elect them to correct the thing, and then they continue to do the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. It has been happening my entire adult life. My entire adult life, the Republicans have been making the same promises. And every single time, they put everyone but us first. People can be mad and they should be outraged at the Democrats waving the Ukrainian flag. That's a disgrace. It's one of the most despicable things I've ever seen as it relates to our government. But ultimately, the Republicans are to blame because they're in charge of the House. They made a promise to the American people and they have done the exact opposite every single time they have had an opportunity to put us first. There will be no border security. Nothing is going to get passed of meaning, but yet Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan are going to get our printed money, which means that inflation will continue to be a thing because this is why it is a thing.
Yep. So the bill provides $60.84 billion for Ukraine, $23 billion to replenish U.S. weapons, $26 billion for Israel, $9 billion for humanitarian needs. And
so that's Hamas. That's Hamas money.
Yeah. And $8 billion for Taiwan. And
but wait. Okay, so let's talk about Taiwan for a second.
Okay.
Because we keep our government, Biden, the Biden administration, keeps doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on how Taiwan is a part of China. Taiwan is, they've had infinite opportunities to say it's separate, it's its own thing, we support Taiwan, we hope they kick the crap out of China, and we hope they get their independence. But we don't do that. So how much did we spend? How much did we send over?
$8.12 billion.
So essentially you're sending that to China.
Mm-hmm.
Because how can you say on one hand, well, Taiwan is a part of China, but yet we're sent, does that make any sense to anyone?
No.
It wouldn't make it any better if we said Taiwan was, you know, if we sent the money and said Taiwan was separate, because we don't have any money. But at least there would be some justification for it. But yet they tell you, when they have every opportunity to stand in defense of Taiwan being a being separate or a break off or a different, no longer beholden to China, they don't do that. Yet they keep sending them this money. We are just addicted to printing money. We're addicted to the military industrial complex. We are addicted to enriching donors and lobbyists. And this is why nothing changes in this country. And look, again, Democrats disgraceful, but it's the vampire argument. I know what the Democrats are. I know what a bunch of sorry sack disgraces those Democrats are. But the Republicans are the ones who promise to be different. And it's the vampire argument. We keep letting these people into our homes. We not only let them into our homes, we go, here's our neck, have a nice little meal. And then we look around and go, where'd all my blood go? And this is the case with the money printing and the inflation. If you're going to be pissed about the price of everything, you cannot support these people. You cannot be voting for these people because 100 plus Republicans are the reason this thing passed. This rests on Mike Johnson and the Republican Party.
I want to know what it was that made Mike Johnson change his tune, because when he first became Speaker, he was all about the southern border, not a penny to all of these other countries until we fix the problem at the border. And now here he is handing billions over to these other countries. Of course, the Ukrainian President Zelensky said that the lawmakers move was on the history on the right track, and he said that this vital aid that was passed will help keep the war from expanding, and it's going to save thousands and thousands of lives and help both of our nations to become stronger.
Is that going to help us,
exactly,
Casey?
How does this help our nation become stronger? And in fact, you mentioned it, here they are chanting Ukraine, Ukraine on our the United States House floor.
Here's what's very interesting about the vote here in Indiana. So there were three Indiana Republicans who voted no. And let's talk about each of them, shall we?
Yeah.
Because they all have explaining to do.
Okay.
So let's start with Banks.
Mm-hmm.
So Banks votes no.
Yeah.
Well, this is another. See, Banks does this crap all the time where he wants his cake and he wants to eat it, too. Jim Banks repeatedly supported Kevin McCarthy. Then he votes against a bunch of the bull crap that Kevin McCarthy puts forward. So he played the game to put McCarthy in there. Then he votes against all this kind of the core stuff that McCarthy's doing. What does it say about his judgment? He votes to put Mike Johnson in there. Then he votes against the core of the stuff that Mike Johnson's doing. See, this is what Banks does, and this is what pisses me off. So he'll pump his chest and tell and run out there and tell people how he voted no on this. Yet he's repeatedly shown such piss poor judgment that he keeps voting for these people as Speaker of the House who are doing the things. That's what a politician does. He talks out of both sides of his mouth. He plays both sides of the game, and he's going to run out there and tell you, oh, I did the right thing. It's too bad the rest of these Republicans aren't as conservative as me. When Jim Banks keeps voting for the people, puts the people in charge who are doing the thing, which is what this is about. It's about leadership. Let's talk about Victoria Spartz. There's been nobody who was a bigger supporter of Ukraine and flapping her gums. She was talking far more about Ukraine until she decided to run for re-election than she was anything else. Now that she's up for re-election, now that she's in a contested race with Chuck Goodrich and Raju, oh, now she's against sending money to Ukraine. Same thing with Jim Barrett. Jim Barrett has voted for almost every single spending bill the Republicans have thrown out there, but now that he's in a contested race with Charles Bookwalter,
yep,
now he's voting against. These people aren't actually against this stuff. They're all just as guilty. These people just happen to be up for re-election,
trying to get their position. Well, in regards to Mike Johnson, I feel like I was hoodwinked too, because for a while
see through this.
I believed him. I thought he was going to be different.
What? What about this guy, Casey? What about this guy?
He said for the second he got in there, no money to anybody else until we fix what's going on in our southern border. And then he flipped his tune.
And Bundy was just some injured guy with the sling who was looking help moving things into his Volkswagen. Would you have believed him too?
No, I wouldn't have believed him.
What's the difference? It's both as blatantly obvious, Casey. Like, why would anybody believe any of these people? This is what blows my mind, is that nobody rises to the level of Speaker unless you are willing to play the game, because that's what this is about. And the game is the donors and the lobbyists at the expense of us. It's never going to change unless we throw every single one of these people out. Victoria Spartz, gotta go. Jim Baird, gotta go. Jim Banks is going to get a promotion, and Jim Banks has been endorsed by Todd Young and Holcomb Hupfer Incorporated, the state party. You think anything's going to change with him in the Senate? This is the point. And then you've got you got four Republicans who actually voted for this crap because they don't fear their reelection. These are the people representing us. You got to throw every single one of these people out because none of them care about us. None of them care about us, Casey.
Well, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Lesson learned, right? And did you know that the Ukrainian border is part of our border?
Oh, I didn't know
that.
Did
you hear that?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, here's Jerry Conley. He's a rep from Virginia, and that's what he's saying.
Some say, well, we have to deal with our border first. The Ukrainian-Russian border is our border. It's the border between depraved autocracy and freedom-loving people seeking our democratic way of life. Do we have a stake in that outcome? Yes. Undeniably, yes. Will we rise to the occasion? Will we stand shoulder to shoulder with our Ukrainian brothers and sisters who for 1,151 days have been holding off the depraved, thuggish dictator Vladimir Putin, who has respected no norms of warfare? He's targeted children in hospitals and schools. He's bombed apartment blocks, killing thousands.
So the Ukrainian border is now our border. That's what he said. And is that why the Ukraine suspended their elections? To save freedom and democracy, just like we do here?
I just am amazed at this country and the things we're willing to tolerate. And here's the thing, Casey. If you look at the 435 people in the United States Congress, I think every single one of them is up for re-election this cycle. It'll be 95, 96, 97% of them will be reelected. And then people will be right back in the next election cycle bitching and whining. And I mean, this is it. This is why we're in the shape it's in. But if you keep reelect, and same thing, if we extrapolate it down to a lower level with the state house, overwhelmingly, these incumbents are going to be reelected. And then the property taxes will keep going up and the gas taxes will keep going up and people will be angry. And many of the people who will be angry will be the people who voted for these people. You have to throw all of these incumbents out. Every single one of them has to go at this point because they are all a part in their own way of the problem. And so it's just a very depressing time for this country. You know, we're trying to be more uplifting on this show, but it is totally demoralizing when you see your side with the other side, who the other side's ideal is, let's wave Ukrainian flags on the U.S. House floor. It's totally demoralizing. And this is why people are apathetic. And this is why people check out. And this is why people don't engage. Because even when they do, it doesn't do any good.
You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
See. Methinks that Tucker Carlson is afraid to go in the ocean. 23 minutes after 9, it's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So he gave a wide-ranging interview with Joe Rogan. They talked about a lot of different things. They talked about UFOs. They talked about politicians being blackmailed. They talked about Joe Scarborough. They talked about magic mushrooms. But one of the things that Tucker said was that there are supernatural beings, particularly in the ocean. Let's give a listen.
No visible means of propulsion, you know, coming at indescribable speed, hitting the ocean, continuing at speeds that are impossible undersea. I mean, in other words, if I take a, you know, 9mm round or 7.62x39 and shoot you at 50 yards underwater in a swimming pool, and it's even more intense in salt water because it's denser, you could catch the bullet if it even makes it to you, right? So if you have a craft, any object underwater that's traveling at 500 knots as measured by sonar, right there you're challenging our understanding of physics. Like, what is that? How can that be? So yeah.
They've tracked that? They've tracked things going 500 knots under the sea?
Yeah, really. Yeah, much, much faster than any object can actually go under sea. Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on underwater, and a lot. And there's video of these things coming out of the sky into the water and also emerging from the water.
Right.
You ever notice that Rogan, Kev is a big Rogan fan, so he's probably caught on to this. Rogan will, because he deliberately has these, and I've got to say, the more we play Rogan clips, the more I kind of get why people actually listen to Rogan, because Tucker Carlson, when I was growing up, was this uptight dude with a bow tie that was on Crossfire, mm-hmm. right? And think about the sort of conversation that Joe Rogan is having with Tucker Carlson. And it's markedly different than a conversation you're going to hear anywhere else. So I can get why to some people that's kind of intriguing.
Yeah, and Tucker's going on a lot of podcasts now. Like, he'll go on comedians' podcasts, and they talk about all kinds of stuff.
He's loosening up a little.
Yeah.
But Rogan will do this thing where, if you listen to it closely, he'll think the person is full of it, but he'll never tell them they're full of it. He'll ask a question, and then if you listen to the way his voice almost rises a little bit when he's not animated, mm-hmm. but if you listen to him, and have you caught on to this, that he will ask the question and they'll be like, "Really, you think?" And then, like, fill in the blank. And then there'll be like a pause after the person will either finish answering the question. And he did that with you.
I always thought he was just kind of processing what they were talking about.
I don't know. Either way, I've caught that when he won't do that when it's sort of a straightforward conversation. Maybe he does genuinely believe it. Just always have found that interesting that's sort of his way, or I have taken it at least that's his way of being like, "Dude, you're even nuttier than I am."
Well, I love the way he said, "There's been video of that."
See, thank you. You get.
Like, oh, yeah, I totally. You've seen video of that?
He's definitely a skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
But he
Well, as he should be with what Tucker Carlson's saying there.
But he delves into this world. This is mm-hmm. how he get. You know, he has these sort of people on all the time where it's this very. It's amazing he's managed to make a living at doing this, and the amount of living he's managed to make, because I think he thinks a whole bunch of people that he actually has on his show are actually full of crap.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he's like, "I'm going to totally cash that check all the way to the bank, baby."
Well, one of the things that Tucker Carlson was suggesting was that U.S. intelligence agencies have control over Congress. And while, yes, you want to believe that, it's also kind of hard to take him seriously when he's talking about UFOs living in the ocean.
Well, yeah, but okay, is there anything at this point, knowing what you know about this country, that you would say, "Oh my gosh, I couldn't believe that"? Like, the things that have come out about this country and about our government,
mm-hmm.
and look at what they're just doing in plain sight.
Right.
Just look at what they're doing to Donald Trump in plain sight now. That's a little regard. What do you think they're doing behind the scenes? There's nothing at this point that I would say, "Boy, that totally surprised." Look at the stuff that came out with Edward Snowden, and that was 10 years ago. Look at the stuff that came out with Julian Assange, and that was 10 years ago. You think it's gotten any better? I have no doubt the government does all sorts of stuff. I just find it fascinating that the thing with Rogan, where how he'll, can we play that again? You'll actually hear it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can isolate it. It's kind of a long clip. We don't need to play the whole thing. But where he asks,
get to the question.
Yeah, where he's like, and you'll hear him do this.
Catch the bullet, if it even makes it to you, right? So if you have a craft, any object underwater that's traveling at 500 knots as measured by sonar, right there you're challenging our understanding of physics. Like, what is that? How can that be? So yeah.
They've tracked that? They've tracked things going 500 knots under the sea?
They've tracked that?
Yeah, really. Yeah, much faster.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I've seen it.
It is interesting, the world in which we live. So, like, I was watching some old stuff on Walter Cronkite over the weekend. And it's amazing how Walter Cronkite at one point was the most respected newsman in America. He was the voice of a nation. Whatever, 90% of what happened in our country moved through Walter Cronkite. And, like, can you picture? Now, Walter Cronkite may have been a complete nut job. He may have been a complete conspiracy theorist. I have no idea what his personal life was like. But can you imagine Walter Cronkite going on Joe Rogan and having this conversation?
Well, no. I mean, that was the difference. He kept his opinions to himself.
Yeah, it's a fascinating world we live in. And you're right. Kev's right. Tucker is totally leaning into. He's like, "Here I am. I'm mm-hmm. off Fox News. I'm a Twitter world man now. I'm filthy rich. I'm leaning into it. Here's the new marketing plan. Let's roll."
We've got the news coming up, and it's Kurt Darling. He's on the way from 93 WIBC. It's a spoiler alert coming from Robert Kennedy Jr. Good morning. It is 9:35 with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So a couple things about this. One, we have to determine if we believe it, and then we have to dissect it. So there's a
two-parter.
Yeah, there's a new NBC poll out, and it has Kennedy polling at 13%, which is the most that we've seen him poll since he declared he was running for president.
Yeah, that's within, I mean, what, it's somewhere 9, 11. I mean, that's a reasonable, I mean, it could be an outlier, but that seems within the margin of reason that 13% of the people would dislike Biden and Trump equally enough to vote for Kennedy. That seems reasonable.
All right, the second part of this is that he's taking more votes from Trump.
Yeah, see, this is the thing. I think people are getting way too into who's he taking more votes from, because I just think it's... First of all, the election isn't even until November. Mm-hmm. I mean, early voting obviously starts in October. So what is that? Let's see. You got May, June, July, August, September. So you got 5 months. And there's going to be a world of different things that are going to happen within the next 5 months where people are going to start deciding how they're going to vote. You obviously got Trump on trial for his life. You got how bad a position the country can be in because of Biden's, you know, terrible governance. And so I just think it's a fool's errand right now trying to decipher, well, Kennedy's up 1 point, or, mm-hmm. oh, Kennedy is pulling 1% more from Trump than he was a month ago. I just think it's who you get on the phone.
Yeah.
I don't think people have any idea right now. And I think ultimately it's going to come down to the condition of the country and how bad does the Trump legal stuff get? And people are going to have to square that in their minds of how much do they want to be able to afford food?
So you think this is going to fluctuate over the next 5 months?
I think it's fun for us. I think mm-hmm. it's fun for our audience who's super into it. I wouldn't live or die based on, wow, Kennedy went from, you know, 11 to 13. Now, if there's 3 months of polling in a row that shows him with a steady increase, then okay. And if it's multiple polls, we always talk about polling is a snapshot of a moment in time. It's mm-hmm. like a booklet, right? Like if you were to look at a cartoon, the way they used to make cartoons with a literal booklet, one drawing of the cartoon doesn't tell you anything. When you flip the booklet, then it's moving its arms, its legs, or it's a whatever. This is just one drawing of the cartoon. It's how does the booklet, you know, unfold over the next 3-4 months.
Okay, so according to this NBC poll, Republican voters view Kennedy much more favorably than Democrats do. And
you know why that is? Because Republican voters, now not the Republican politicians they elect, but the Republican voter actually cares about this country, and they actually care about wanting to have quality people govern them. And the Democrats, it's all about the D. The letter is all that matters. There is no diversity of ideology inside the Democrat Party. Look at who the Democrats have allowed to overrun their party. These maniac Marxists, and the Democrats, because it's just about getting the D elected, have largely been okay with that. Whereas the Republicans actually care about diversity of thought. They actually care about debate. They actually care about quality of candidate. And so I do think you would be more apt right now, at least, to see Republican voters saying, hey, look, if Trump is doing this, I don't like, or that I don't like, I'm more apt to be open to voting for someone else.
So Biden hasn't even publicly acknowledged that Kennedy is in the race. Although
he may not know.
Well, it's true. But let's be honest. He knows, and he's kind of doing the back door. Because why else would he feel the need to have the entire Kennedy family enthusiastically endorse him and show up on stage?
Well, his
if not to kind of backhand Robert Kennedy.
His people care, and they clearly see him as a threat. And I think Kennedy becomes an escape valve, and I think that's ultimately what he's going to be, because I think his campaign will be largely uninspiring. So he becomes an escape valve for people. Most people won't be voting for Kennedy. You'll either be saying, and I think this is where most of the Kennedy voters will be, the country is so poorly run under Biden, I certainly can't vote for him. I so loathe Trump's personal behavior that I can't vote for him. And so this guy becomes my safe mm-hmm. harbor, where by all accounts, he's lived a pretty decent life. And, you know, I mean, look, there's certain things he's done that have come out that are clearly not great. But he ain't Biden and he ain't Trump. And I think he becomes this...
It's the anti-vote.
Right. He becomes sort of this safe harbor mm-hmm. for people who want to take some moral, phony moral superiority that they didn't vote for Trump, but yet they recognize you absolutely can't vote for Biden. So we'll see. We'll see what the polling says in July. We'll see what the polling says in September. We'll see if there's a trend on it. And if he doesn't get on the debate stage, it ain't going to matter anyway.
So there was another poll done by NBC, and this was just strictly about Biden and Trump. And they asked the question, which candidate is better?
We talk about the erosion for Biden, and now you start to see it. Look at these numbers. Trump advantages on all of these traits.
And I stop here because competent and effective, that was President Biden's, the crux of his campaign pitch back in 2020.
And we actually polled this question in 2020, and it was basically the exact opposite. It was Biden with about a 10-point advantage over Trump. And again, same with handling a crisis. Biden had the edge over Trump. And how about this? It's the former president, the current president. We don't really see matchups like this. Well, now we can measure it. Who has the strong record as president? And again, Trump outpacing Biden on that front. And again, you got to mention this one too, necessary mental and physical health. We asked this 4 years ago. It was a wash. It's now a clear liability for Joe Biden. So these are all troubling numbers for Biden.
Okay, so they narrowed it down. Handling a crisis, Trump is up by 4 points. Strong record as president, Trump is up by 7 points. Competent and effective, Trump is up by 9 points. Necessary mental and physical health, Trump is up by 19 points. And dealing with inflation and the cost of living, Trump is up by a whopping 22 points.
So again, it's April and the election's not till November. But if this polling were to hold, here would be the question I would have to the normal mainstream American voter. If the election was very close last time and Trump is now winning in the polling in all these areas where he was losing in 2020, then how is it possible without creative jelly bean counting Trump could lose the election? I mean, if the election was super close and all of these areas where Trump was losing in 2020, he's now winning in 2024, how is it possible Trump could lose the election? See, this is why people get weird and have serious reservations about the results of an election, because if Trump does indeed lose air quotes, mm-hmm. but yet he's winning in all the polling, especially where he was losing last time and he almost won anyway, people are going, this stuff does not compute. This stuff does not make sense.
Yeah, doesn't add up. Well, you can always blame the polling, I guess. Okay, so this article was kind of interesting. The birthplace of Texas getting a $550 million makeover.
What?
So the Alamo, save the Alamo.
Yeah.
Getting a $550 million makeover.
What does that even mean?
Well, they're redoing it. They bought a bunch
They're
redoing the area around it.
Oh.
It was called America's Most Disappointing Tourist Attraction. The average person only spent 8 minutes visiting the Alamo.
Well, what is there really to see? I mean, it wasn't a great result. It wasn't like, you know, something where you're like, boy, that worked out really well for America. I mean, what would you be doing there?
Well, they're trying to preserve the 300-year-old church and make it a more educational experience.
Now, is this taxpayer money?
Yes, of course
it
is.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah.
So we're going to print a bunch of money to remember a battle that was one of the worst in American history.
Yep. There. So.
Wow, hard to believe we're going broke, Casey.
There have been some buildings and businesses that have built up around the Alamo, like Ripley's Believe It or Not and Wax Museum.
Oh, of course.
And all of those properties have since been closed down, and the city now owns those businesses.
Right.
There was one bar owner who was a major holdout. He said he was demanding like $17 million.
Yeah, good on him.
It's not disclosed exactly how much he ended up getting. Of course, they claimed eminent domain.
Yeah.
He has since moved out, but he said now in the museum that they're going to build up over where his bar used to be, if they find any archaeological pieces, they have to give credit to his bar in the museum.
So okay, like Gettysburg, you get it, right? You go there and there's this incredible battle, and it was a turning point in the Civil War, and Lincoln gives this incredible speech, and obviously the right side, the good guys, end up winning the Civil War. What's the selling point of the Alamo? Hey, why don't you guys come here and spend some time here? This is where America got its ass kicked. I mean, like, what's the selling point of the how? Why?
Well, I guess if you're a Texan, it's where Texas became, you know, got their liberty. So it's important to them. It's kind of a sacred place to Texans. One other interesting thing that I find about this entire thing is that Phil Collins, yes, the singer Phil Collins, is going to have a special place in all of the museum. He apparently has this vast personal artifact collection of the Alamo, and he's a huge Alamo buff, and he's donating all of his stuff to the museum that's going to be built there.
I'm amazed about this, and it blows my mind that this is what we're spending our money on. And again, it's another example of why, Casey, we're going broke. I mean, why would this be a priority? We're $34 trillion in debt. Our nation is just spending money like it's going out of style, and this is what we're spending our money on.
$550 million to save the Alamo. They want to make it a world-class visitor experience that is unforgettable.
God bless Texas.
It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
The Eastern world, it is exploding.
So 24/7 Sports ranked the top 15 head coaches for college basketball, and Purdue's Matt Painter was not on the list.
Oh, that's a shame.
It is Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Some people are saying that is blasphemous. Oh.
Or maybe they recognize when you have a 9'3" guy, you know, it makes coaching a little easier. So I don't know, just saying.
The argument being that Painter was a 5-time Big Ten Coach of the Year. He guided the Boilermakers to back-to-back Big Ten regular season titles. Purdue was not ranked lower than 4 all season long, and they were ranked number 1 for much of the season. So why would the head coach not be one of the top 15?
Okay, so does it say who's the top of the list? Do we have some names there?
Yes, let's see here. Number 1 is, Dan Hurley from UConn.
Well, that's pretty hard to argue with that one, isn't it?
You've also got the head coach from Kansas, Baylor, Houston, Mark Few from Gonzaga, and Michigan State, Tom Izzo on there, and also Rick Pitino from St. John's.
Okay, yeah, I'm probably going to agree with the Purdue people, and I'm loathe to do this, but you would think Painter would be in the top 15 of all coaches, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
But I love that Purdue bias. Anytime someone is adamantly against Purdue, you can sign me up for that.
This is an interview with Matt Painter. I thought it was kind of interesting. He's discussing where he would be without his parents. Although while he's saying nice things about his mom and dad, he also takes a shot at Muncie.
Like, think about growing up with your parents and you got to do whatever the hell you wanted to do instead of them telling you things or whatever. Like, would you be sitting here? I know I wouldn't. I'd be bowling on Tuesday in Muncie, Indiana, and playing slow pitch softball. And it's a joke, but it's also true. I just wouldn't. If you allowed me to do what I wanted to do when I was 18, 19, 20 years old, I mean, it would have been hell. Because you constantly are on an emotional whim just to do what you feel like you should be doing instead of someone saying, no, you're not doing that. This is what's best for you. And then you start to speak and they tell you to shut up and you end up doing it, and then 15 years later you don't think your old man's a fool, right? That's the way it works.
There's that old saying, the older I get, the smarter my parents become. And that's a big, you obviously have an adult daughter who's getting ready to graduate college. I have a very young daughter, but that's the struggle of parenting at all ages, is how to give your kids enough freedom to learn what they like and what they don't like and what their interests are and things they want to pursue throughout the remainder of their life. But also, you're not your kid's friend. I mean, that is, too many parents want to be their kid's friend. That is not your job as a parent. Your job is to protect and to raise and to inspire your kids, but it's also to guard them. And part of guarding them means that you have to be able to tell them no. You have to be able to tell them what's right. Kids are idiots, right? And I say this as I was once a kid and I was an idiot. Mm-hmm. Kids have no idea what's going on. I mean, it's the whole argument we make about these kids who decide they want to be transsexual or whatever. No, you don't. You have no idea. You don't even have an idea of that when you're 18 because your brain's still not fully formed. But in society, we say that's when you're an adult. But children, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds, they have no idea. And yet we now allow kids to just make kind of their own choices and plot their own course in life. And that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And so I hate that I have to agree with anyone who is any way associated with Purdue, but he's spot on that.
You don't want to agree with Matt Painter. I always had an uncle, Uncle Denny. He always let me know when I was being ridiculous.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a parent, but it was a parental figure.
Yeah.
That, you know, you're being ridiculous, cut it out. Like he was, you know, he would tell it to me straight. And I think everybody needs at least one person in their life like that, especially when you're young.
Right. That, like I am that person for Kevin.
Does Kevin know that?
Yeah, right. I mean, who more looks at Kevin and gives Kevin better the life advice, not that Kevin wants, but that he needs? Uh-huh. The answer is me.
But what about Matt Painter kind of taking a dig there on Muncy?
Yeah, good
saying,
on him.
Saying that he would be bowling or playing softball, like if his parents weren't there to tell him no, that would be a horrible existence on his part. I mean,
well, let's face it.
That's not the worst that could happen.
Muncy kind of deserves it, don't they? I mean, we'll have Hammer in next hour. He'll back us up on this. Mm-hmm. As he went to college there. It was a random assault on Muncy, wasn't it?
I mean, I get his point.
From Muncy.
I get his point that he was, you know, ready for better
things.
Well,
yeah. He was born in Fort Wayne, but yeah, you're right. And he can do that, I guess. I mean, I'm loathe to be one to criticize people for making fun of their hometown, but it was just kind of a random assault on Muncy, even though Kev's right. He did go to school there. He went to Delta High School. Yes.
Yep. All right. It's Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WYBC. Good morning. Yeah.